many, many years ago, when we first met the Dharma, and now. Yeah, inside we didn't have a lot of big transformations and big happenings and big changes. But if we think about it, from the time we met the Dharma till now, think about the changes it's made in our own individual families. Think about the changes the Dharma has brought to our wives, our husbands, our children, the general harmony of the house, the general care in the house. Just think, don't think about meditation and chanting and reading books. Just think, by meeting the Dharma and listening to the Dharma, how much changes a positive family life it has brought into our families. Initially, when we brought the statues into the altar, and we brought in the altars, we made the offerings, you know, our wives, our husbands, our children, our whatever looked at us and thought we were weird. But now, if you think about it, what damage has it done to your families? Never mind damage, benefit. And some more, how much harmony, love, and closeness. And I feel that a lot of couples and a lot of people individually, not even couples, find more peace with each other and with themselves since Dharma has entered their life. And they get along better, they communicate better, they talk better, and their lives generally become better. That is just a clear outer sign of the power of the Buddha and power of Dharma practice. That's with us putting so little effort into the practice. Some of us as kids can observe our parents, the harmony. Some of us as parents can observe the kids. Some of us as parents observe each other. Some of us living individually, independent people, can observe within ourselves and how we deal with other people. That on some level, it has broadened the spectrum of our mind, the way we think, the way we act, the way we react to other people. And some of us in this room, Dharma has actually saved our lives, saved our fortunes and our finances, has saved some of us in this room. And I am not in any way indirectly pointing to how beneficial I am. Remember, I always tell people, I'm not into you following a personality cult. I'm here to transmit the Dharma to all of you, but one day I will be dead. One day I will be gone. I'll stay here till I'm dead. That's pretty much confirmed by the protector. But I'll be dead. It could be very soon. Once I'm dead, everything in your practice and your lives cannot stop. It has to continue. That's why I'm not into a personality cult or personality following, and I don't like fanaticism towards me, because that's not what Dharma's about. I want you to be fanatic about yourself. I want you to be fanatic about your mind and your relationship with everybody and yourself and in you and with the people that you love. That's what Dharma's about. So when you support Dharma, when you support KH, when your family does it, when you're supported by time and energy, and when you're supported by money, when you're supported by love and care, in any way, what you're doing is you're not being fanatical toward Tibetan Buddhism or the center or me or anyone. You're being fanatical about yourself. Why? How much benefit have you yourself received from the Dharma, your own family, just on a harmonious basis? Some of you may not realize it at this point. Some of you have reached such low points that actually the Dharma protector held you up for a few years till you can survive and make it again. And I'm not joking, and I'm not going to beat around the bush. Some of you was saved and held by the Dharma protector until you made it, and you will make it again. So, but how much have we given back? See, this is not a slap your face session of how much you didn't do. This is a wake up session of how important Dharma is in our lives and how much it's benefited us. And therefore, all you get is benefit. Dharma is not tangible. It's not the statues. It's not the throne. It's not me. It's not the words. Dharma is nothing tangible that you can touch. Dharma is not something you can taste or feel. What is Dharma? I'll tell you. Dharma is the harmony and the more understanding that a wife and a husband feels between each other. It is the love and harmony and the understanding and the less arguments that a wife and husband feels, that an aunt and uncle feels, that a cousin feels between each other, that sisters feel, brothers feel, that children and parents. It brings people closer together. And how do you bring people closer together? Not by magic, but by giving them Dharma that opens their mind to make them understand and look at things in a broader spectrum. And that's what Dharma is about. Dharma may temporarily look like it separates family or bring you here or there. No. I promise you, in the end, Dharma will bring everybody together closer and better. because nothing in Buddha's teachings talks about breaking people up. Nothing. Nothing at all. So what I want you guys all to know is, you check from the time that Dharma has entered your lives due to your own good karma up till now, and how much difference it's made in your own minds, and how much harmony it's brought, and what it always shares with you, and what it always encourages you to do, to love other people, to forgive your enemies, to get along with your partners, to make more harmony. Dharma always encourages us to do that. It's never ever talked about anything else, and it's never ever invented anything else. So the results of Dharma, even for people who apply it, even a few months' time, you see a huge difference in your own mind. Remember, I want you guys to remember something. Everything that you have is very, very short term. And the most important thing that you have in your lives are the people that care about you and that has stuck through you loyally and that has been by your side with all your bad habits, with all your bad tempers and all your bad words and all your bad anger. Irrelevant of all of that, it's the people that stuck by, short or long term. And in the end, we can lose everything except those people. And maybe in the past, we had a lot of bad energy between those people. But it doesn't have to be like that in the future. It doesn't have to be like that forever. We can change it. And the purpose of learning Dharma is what? Is for all of us to have beautiful, harmonious relationships with people around us, to forgive the wrongs that they have done, that we have done, to forgive ourselves also. And to move on. To move on. To move on to what? To happy, light, carefree individuals who can bring this light to other people. That's what Dharma is. And if you have one less argument with your partner, that's Dharma. If you have one less attachment, that's Dharma. If you control your anger one time a day, that's Dharma. If you forgive your partner, that's Dharma. All that is Dharma. That is what Dharma is. Dharma is about bringing people together. And don't ever think that Buddha doesn't want people to have families and be together and all that. No. Don't think that Buddha's aim is to make everybody a monk and nun. It was during Buddha's time. But it isn't that like that now. Buddha's teachings change with time. He has set teachings forth for this period. We call and spend Liu. This period, 500 years, this period years. For 5,000 years, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50. For 10 periods, Liu Ju. There is 10 periods according to the scriptures that Buddha's teachings will pass through phases. Through this period, through this period, through this period. Each period has a different type of teaching that will manifest stronger for that group at that time. So this is not a period of holding vows and monkhood. This is not that period. So don't think that Buddhism now is in the period of what Buddha was in the past, or what he taught in the past. Buddha has set teachings that at this period, this will be more prevalent. This will be more prevalent. These teachings will be more prevalent. So being monks and nuns now is incredible and is beautiful, but it's not the aim of Dharma at this time. The aim of Dharma at this time is to create inner and outer peace. Because peace is a very great threat to all of us within and without. Hey, we can't do anything what's happening on the outside at this moment, but we can sure do something within here and around us. So you don't think of Dharma in an old, antiquated way because of lack of knowledge and understanding of the Dharma. No. No. Without studying the Dharma, without reading, without listening to Dharma, you actually don't know the Dharma. It's very hard to not know something and base your opinion on ignorance and not knowing. You're not stupid, you're ignorant. Similarly, for me to figure out something and for someone like the Dalai Lama to figure out something, it's a very big difference because our knowledge is extremely different. So in that kind of way, when you get more knowledge in the Dharma, you will be able to deal with things better. And that deal with things is more ourselves. And because of the kindness of Dharma, many of us have a closer relationship with the people that we, maybe a few years ago, would say, goodbye. I can't take it. Many of us were financially helped and saved by the Holy Dharma, by the Dharma protectors. Many of us are being protected and saved at this time. Many of us will earn livelihoods and receive a lot of direct benefit from the Dharma in the future. Many of us will receive that. So I will say something to you that's a little controversial, but I want you to listen very carefully, deeper. Deeper. And I don't want you to listen to it on a superficial basis. I want all of you, and to tell your friends and other Dharma students, in a very skillful way, to contribute to the Dharma and to give towards the Dharma in any way, shape, or form to any department. No, don't ever think, I have a limit. I will give this much. I will give this much time. I will give this much effort. I will give this much knowledge. I will give this much money. I will give this much donations. No, never put a limit. I'll tell you why. We all don't have a limit to how much we want in life. We don't have a limit to how much we want to be successful in life. So if you don't have a limit to how much you want in life, how can you put a limit to how much you want to give to make yourself successful in life? And if you believe in karma, the karmic repercussion of giving is receiving. Right now we're at a stage where we don't have to run around and do all kinds of things to raise money due to the protector's blessings. We're fine. Some of us in this room didn't contribute much to the Dharma Center, but it's manifested. Some of us contribute a lot. I'm not pointing fingers or segregating. I'm telling you, I am asking you for help and not to put a limit to your help, not because I need it, but I do need it, not because I need it, because now you check back and see how many years you've been in a Dharma and how much you have received in mental help, in care, in love, and to put up patiently with your habits, and how much harmony it's brought into your family, how much love, and how much changes is brought within you. And you think about that, and would you like other beautiful people to have that? I would. And not all of us here are Malaysians, but I'm going to say it because we're in Malaysia. But I owe a lot to Malaysia. I owe basically everything I have directly, indirectly to Malaysia, and I plan to give it all back. I don't have anybody to pass on even $1 to. Everything goes back to Malaysia. So, but for Malaysia, you have to think of it from two points. One is Malaysia will become more and more well known. And through the internet, through communication, everybody's going to know about this beautiful place. And we'll spread Dharma from here. Because when we get a Dharma book, we don't look at what country it comes from. When we get a Dharma CD or teachings, we don't look at what country it comes from much anymore. We just read it and see if it's beneficial. Like that, Malaysia will be a very strong headquarters for us to spread the Dharma all over the world. It doesn't matter where it comes from anymore. And we're Malaysian in this life, but we may not be Malaysian in our next life. And other people who are not Malaysians now may be Malaysian in their next life. In any way, we need to bring Dharma here because this place will hit many people to have Dharma. What Dharma? Harmony, love, and care, and to teach forgiveness in their lives. Most important is letting go. And each one of us has very, very strong attachments that has created some type of disharmony within our families, with our husbands, with our wives, with our children, with our friends, with our business partners. And you know what? It can only be a few things because we're humans. If you get sick, it can be only a few things. If you know the principles of sickness, you can pretty much target the illness. I mean, in a general situation. So like that, in our families, it can only be a few things. It could be dishonesty toward our partners. It can be anger toward our partners and not letting our partners win. It can be greed and miserliness toward our partners. It can be even not knowing, using our partners, making our partners pay and take care of us. And we demand it and we use psychological blackmail tricks. But what I want to tell people is this, is according to the Dharma and according to karma, right now we may be able to do that to our partners, friends, and I'm talking about love partners as in husband and wives, friends, business associates, partners, just general partners. We may be able to do that now, and we can get away with it for a few years more, and we've been getting away with it for a few years, but it won't last. I'll tell you why. The karma to support it cannot last forever. And whatever we take from this person or people, we will have to give back. whatever psychological tricks we use to get from our partners, whatever we want and not give back, I'm sorry to say we have to pay back. I'll tell you why. No one punishes us. Karma is ever present. So what we need to do now is, if we really believe in ourselves, and we really look back and say, hey, look, what's left in my life? Just death. There's a few people around me that support me and love me and take care of me. What we need to do now is, the things that we found difficult to do with our partners and friends, we should do now. Example, maybe if we're having an argument with our wife, we stop thinking, why is my wife like that? Maybe we should think, why do I react to my wife like that? And change ourselves. Because we know what? Our wives are not going to be Buddhas overnight. So if we should stop asking, why is my wife still like that? We should ask, why do I still react to my wife like that? And let go. Similarly, women are actually the pillar of the family, contrary to what people want to think. In Buddhism, women are the pillar of the family, just like that single pillar holding up this whole center in the middle of that room. Women are the pillars. They are the emotional strength. They're gentle. They're strong. They're feminine. And their energy is wisdom. And they produce children. And they produce what we want. They give us company and they support us. And especially in Asian society, women are incredible because women are taught to put up with a lot of things from men, and they do put it up. Women are treasures, and we have to treat them like that. I don't care if you've been married for 30 years, 50 years, 800 years, 1 year, 2 years. What we need to do is we need to give gifts to our wives, not expect gifts. I don't care how simple it is or how easy it is or how whatever. We need to give gifts to our wives. We need to buy things for our wives. We need to buy flowers. We need to buy chocolates. We need to buy small little things to say, hey, I might not be with you for long. You know, any time we can pop off. And if we want to talk about praying for the world and benefit the world, let's start with the people that we live with. We don't talk about world peace. We talk about the people we live with. I'm using a wife right now as an example, but you have to apply that to children to parents, each other, husbands, relatives, business partners. I'm just using one example. But what we should do is we should treasure the people we're with. Give them flowers. Stop sitting there belly aching and complaining about what we don't have. You may never have it for the rest of your life. So do you want to spend the rest of your life complaining about not having it or accepting it and just making your partner happy? Sometimes living peacefully with our partners and friends and family is a gift in itself. Sometimes not shouting and screaming and fighting is a gift in itself, because where can we buy that? Some of us who are single, think about our relatives and friends. If we can pass one day and 1 week without fighting and shouting, without disharmony, you know what? It's a big gift. And we have to not wait for the other person to do something. We have to do it ourselves. We have to start ourselves. Don't say, hey, I bought the bouquet of flowers, that's it, I did my part. No, it has to be continuous. What I'm trying to say is, I'm not asking you to chant more, to recite more prayers and mantras. I'm asking you to do real Dharma practice now, not preparatory. All these that you've done are beautiful. These offerings, the cleaning, all this is all wonderful. But it's all preparatory practice. Preparatory means in preparation for practice. What's the real practice? Right now, for all of us at this stage, to bring incredible harmony into our families, into whoever we meet. Incredible harmony. Incredible harmony with every single person that comes in contact with us. And not to be cold and calculative, or not to be angry and not forgive, and not to hold on to the past, and not to try to get something. Or not to wait to expect something, or not to blame or point fingers. Right now, we've been doing, for all this time up till now, we've been doing preparatory practices, and we've been doing a great job. But now we need to do Dharma practice, and that is to bring more love and incredible harmony into our own very families. So start there. I am sure you have nightmare husbands and nightmare wives and nightmare kids and nightmare partners and nightmare friends. Everybody around you is actually a nightmare. If you think about it, you pretty much would like to go into retreat or actually send your nightmare friends and partners into retreat. Actually, that would be better. Sending for retreat, you know. Couldn't you just let's fantasize for a minute. There's no karma, no Buddha. Nothing exists. Just pretend there's no karma for just 5 minutes. Think about a person that really bugs the crap out of you. And for me, I need a few days. There's a lot of people that bugs the crap out of me. And just think that we can make up some bullshit story and tell them how they're going to be a Buddha, they're going to be enlightened, and that everything's going to be wonderful and fabulous, and that they should go into retreat for 3 years, 3 months, and 3 days. And you know, and then you have 3 years, 3 months, and 3 days without these monsters. And after that, we can make up another bullshit story, you know, and keep them retreat for the next 12 years. And then, you know, we go to Nepal. We find some mountain that no one lives at. Dig out a cave, blow it out. You know, we'll all go there and help. We support each other. And we fix it up all nice, make a little built-in toilet in the Himalayas. And we fix it up with curtains, inner heating. You know, we get a wiring from the Himalayas down to Kathmandu City. We put it on a generator and make sure they stay up there warm and nice. We make sure they have a water supply. And, you know, we even put a computer there. And we have a CCTV here so they can see what we're doing. And we keep them there for retreat. Just think of one or maybe even two people we'd like to send for retreat. 3 years, 3 months, 3 days. And you lock them in like Tibetan style, locked it outside, and only you have the key. And trust me, in the Himalayas, there's no locksmiths. There's nobody there. Just think, just one person you'd like to send for retreat, like, mwah, bye, mwah. And you make some bullshit like, it's for you. It's for you to be a Buddha. It's for luck. And they don't believe in Buddha. Okay, we'll do another way. For luck. You come back, you'll be super rich. After that, like 3 year, 3 month, 3 days is a time period for a long retreat. 3 day, 3 month. The second day, we throw in another bomb. Guess what? You need to stay another one. And then these monster partners and friends are put in a retreat. We never have to hear their voice again. We never have to listen to them bitch and complain. We don't need to listen to their little hang-ups and their weird quirks and their dislikes and likes and their attachments. No more. Mwah, bye. We deliver them in a helicopter. We have to go bankrupt sending them there. Never mind. Helicopter. Bankrupt. La. Just think, who would we send? Of course, don't say it. Don't say it. Just think it. Just let's just fantasize for a minute. Okay, right now we're all inside a helicopter with that one person we'd like to send for a retreat, and we're about to take off. The helicopter pad is upstairs, la. And we're getting in, and it's a 16-hour ride over to the Himalayan mountains, but never mind, you know, for Dharma, we'll put up with anything. And we land on top of Mount Everest, and now we're getting out. We open the little door, and we're showing them their new apartment in the Himalayas, and we're really excited that we almost pee in our pants. And some of us thinking, can I have two apartments there? Don't be greedy, one. And then we're putting them inside, and now we're turning the key. And then what we do is we run back to the helicopter. Run! We run back like Bibi ran in Kathmandu when there was work to be done. Did you remember we got out the bus? Bibi ran! He ran! He ran fast to the taxis. I'm like, Bibi! I never saw Bibi run in 10 years. He ran! I mean, not walk fast, run! Ran! Sprint! God! Anyways, we sprint back to the helicopter and we get in, and on the way back to Kuala Lumpur, of course we stop one night in Bangkok. Have a few drinks and celebrate that they're in retreat. And of course, we're going to Bangkok to pray for their success, of course. What else could it be? And then they're gone. And we come back to KL all by ourselves. No more nagging, no more arguments, no more weird conversations and ideas, nothing, just us. Isn't that fun? You know, I sit there and fantasize. I would have to build probably the twin towers up there in Mount Everest to put away the people that get on my nerves, because I know a lot of people that get on my nerves. Just think about that. Would that be easier or transforming ourselves? what will be easier? That the things that bother us about that person, they're real. But wouldn't it be easier if we just change ourselves? Because the things that bother us about that person, another person, something else will bother us, or something similar. Because you know what? There's only a few things that human beings can be disturbed by. There's only a few things. It's either this or that or that or this or a combination or a different manifestation of the same thing. So what we need to do now is to do real Dharma practice. And the real Dharma practice is this, is controlling ourself and forgiving the pain that we've experienced. Forgiving the pain we experience doesn't mean to let it happen again. But the method we employ not to let it happen again must be Dharma. I'll tell you why it must be Dharma. I'll tell you why. Because you don't want to collect any more karma. That's negative. That's why. So if people want to hurt us and cheat us and do things that damage us, you know what? They're going to get their karma back. But you don't sit there and count the days to see when they're going to get the karma back, because then you're just as bad as them. But you also don't let them hurt you. But you also cannot hurt them back. And you cannot wish negative back. I'll tell you why. It's very, very simple. How much you wish negative back about them and how much you punish them is how much karma you'll get back in the future to get more. Because even to meet these people and to be around these people in the first place, we must have had some karma to be around them. So what we need to do now is to bring more harmony and love and care and forgiveness into our families immediately. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Immediately. Because you know why? They can be gone anytime. Anytime. You know how fragile life is. I was reading through Reader's Digest, watching all the people who died in tsunami, and they have pictures, beautiful pictures, well, not beautiful, but emotional pictures of people holding kids or wives that are dead. And you can see the shock of the moment. I saw one father standing there over his dead son. The emotion that he showed and the people watching him, it was incredible. It was instilled. And you felt the loss. It's a loss that's irreplaceable. Any of us can feel that. And I felt scared and I felt moved, because I can be in that position. I can lose people I care about. Similarly for us, anytime our wives can go, our husbands can go, our children can go, anytime. Not even just death, just go. Do we want, before that happens, which is, it's going to eventually happen, we need to do something now. And that's what Dharma is about, you know. It's not about who's right and who's wrong. It's not about whose center is big. It's not about which religion's right. It's not about whether there's a future life or a next life or not. It's not about whether Buddha exists or God exists. It's not about whether Catholics are the real religion or Buddhism is the real religion. It's not about any of that. It is about us bringing harmony into our family, into our lives, into the people we care about now. That's what it's about. And that's what we learn Dharma for. And doing chanting and praying and cleaning and working and being involved in the center. You know what? It brings a lot of powerful merit and luck and good karma to your families so you can accomplish that. So when you serve the center, you're not serving a building. You're serving a place where it brings happiness and it teaches harmony and love to a lot of people, and it brings a lot of love to people. You know, what's the difference between KH, Kachara House, and AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, or Weight Watchers, WW? They're all support groups. We know who we are. We know what we need to do. We are all good people inside, but sometimes we lose ourselves because we want to find money, or we are difficult, or we're angry, or we had bad experiences. We know who we are inside. But sometimes we just need a support group to help us find ourselves. And that's what KH is. It's a support group. You're not serving a building. You're not serving a god. You're not serving these statues. These statues don't need anything from you. What we're serving is the energy of this place, that it brings tremendous benefit to other people. And you know what people that I want? A lot of you all know what kind of people I want. I want the people who don't like established religions. I like the people who says, I don't want to meditate. I like the people who are lazy. I want the people who are greedy. I want the druggies. I want the people who are prostitutes. I want the people who are transgenders. I want the people who are alternate. I want all the weirdos, and I want all these kind of people that we label weirdos and different. Because you know why? Those are the bigger group of people out there. I don't want all the holy smolies and the goody goodies and all the nice people. They come great. I'm not targeting them. You know why? Most religions cater to them. It's easy. It's easy to be nice to someone who's nice to you. That's not religion. They're nice to you, you're nice to them. That's not religion. That's not spiritualism. That's not Catholicism. That isn't Jesus. That isn't Buddha. That isn't God. It's nice to be nice to someone who's nice to you, but it's not easy to be. It's not easy to be nice to someone who's not nice to you, but it's easy to be nice to someone who is nice to you. That's not religion. Religion and spiritual practice is being nice and patient to people who are not to you. That's what religion is. And that's what we are going to do here.
Stay. Good boy. Good boy.
That's what we're going to do. And that's how we bring spiritualism. And the people I'm targeting are the people just like you and me, who normally wouldn't get into religion, who's not interested, who's lazy, who's got a lot of weird ideas, who rather hang out doing nothing, who are preoccupied. Those are the people we want to target. Do you know why? Because that's the majority of the planet. Even those people in established religions, if you look at them, how many people are really practicing religion? Very small. And that counts me into that group. Very small. So let's not talk about world peace, enlightenment, karma, next life, all that. Let's just talk about right now, our families, us, me, us. How much harmony can we bring? And we can. And you know where that comes from? Not some mystical signs on cover appears to you in a dream. Knowing that everything we have is very short. And we've made a lot of mistakes in our life. 2. Number 3, we know our own shortcomings. We know our own shortcomings. And if we let it ride and continue, it just becomes stronger and bigger and bigger. And when we face those shortcomings and we overcome it and we're nice to the people that are not nice to us, or we're nice to the people who are nice to us, both ways, that is Dharma. So we don't complain anymore about our partners and our friends and our children and life and whatever. We don't complain. And we stop sitting there waiting for us to get the big US dollar and then we move on with life. No, maybe we're never going to get anything for the rest of our life. But what we do have now, we need to have and keep. So wives and females and women are Nakinis. And we should treat them like that. What women want is a little bit of attention, a little bit of sweet words, a little bit of flowers and chocolates, taking them out to eat, and we pay. That's what women want. Women want security that the husbands are loyal, because women are stronger than men. What men want is not to come home to a nagging wife that bitch and complain about nothing, because what men feel is, hey, I work all day and I come home and you make a nice home for me. Wrong or right, never mind. Men like to sit there and be served and be given things. Tradition dictates that. In every old culture, tradition dictates that women serve men. You want to follow tradition or you want to follow logic? That's up to you. That's not really my business. I'm not here to change, 20,000 years of society and culture. But what I'm trying to say is, however we get served, we will have to serve one day. The karma will come back. What men want is for women to be nice little wives, to stay home and always give them face and not be embarrassed by them. Everybody wants something from everybody. I mean, it's natural, isn't it? So why don't we give that to each other? It's very small. Women should stop nagging their husbands and making problems and talking and just bitching away and going on and on and harping. What's the big deal? It's a small price to pay. Men, give some flowers. Give a little bit of chocolates. Don't be embarrassed. I know 20 years later, you've never given one petal to your wife. Now you give, it's like, what's your motive? Definitely it's not bubbly. Some of us haven't had bubbly with our wives in, I don't know, 15 years. I asked some of you, when's the last time I had bubbly? I can't remember. Bad. It's not about bubbly. You know what it's about? It's about inside bubbly. It's the feeling you get from bubbly. It's not the bubbly, really. It's the feeling inside. It's the warmth and the forgiveness and the care, because time is short. And without being bitchy, some of us in here, time is really short. So take care of your wives. bring them flowers. 2-3 months once, flowers, take them out. Just take them out, no motive. Not to pasam, not to mian tian la, sweating the dead, nice restaurant. Not to SS2 nasi kandala, yeah, I took you out quiet. Isn't your wife worth 100, 200 ringgits for a night out? Come on, what are you saving your money for? What are you keeping it for? You think you're, look, Tutankhamun couldn't take any of the pyramid and all the wealth inside. It's in the English Museum now. What do you think you can take? You can take your 100,000, 200,000 ringgit. You die, you take that with you to your next life. I don't think so. Remember you came into this life naked, nothing? Just grabbing placenta, that's it from your mother? Dzongkhapa's placenta grew into a tree, your placenta rotting in the ground. Think. And for kids, you must serve your parents. You must. If you want to practice Buddhism, you want to go into retreat, if you want to do your sadhanas, if you want to accomplish anything that is of any value, you check the kids who serve their parents and you check the kids who don't serve their parents and where they are in life. One, you check the kids who serve their parents and you check the kids who don't serve their parents and where their mental level is and how good their mind is. The kids who serve their parents, or at least physically cannot, but mentally serve their parents, not fight back and help and buy meals and whatever. Their mental attitude is more pliable, more nicer, more kinder. And they have gotten more in life. The kids who don't get anywhere in life are the ones who don't serve their parents. Do you know why? There's nothing magical here, because they show you the nature of their mind, how deep their selfish mind is. And if their mind is extremely selfish, the measuring tape is their parents. I'll tell you why. No one in your life, directly or indirectly, besides your guru, but let's not put that in, has been kinder to you on a physical level than your parents in this life. No one. And it can be your auntie or uncle. Parents doesn't mean it has to be blood parents. In my case, I don't have blood parents. You know. No one. And if you don't take care and serve your parents while you have them, and you're doing your sadhanas and offerings and you're running around doing retreats and whatever, you are not holy in any way. None. And you will not gain attainments, because it is a measuring tape of your attainments and how selfish and not selfish you are. To serve one's parents is a measuring stick of how intense our selfish mind is or is not. Think about it. So if you can serve your parents intensely, if physically they don't need your service, mentally, if mentally you don't, if they don't need your service, at least don't be a burden for them in any way, now or in the future. And that is service to your parents. So if you don't serve your parents in a physical, mental way, you are not a Dharma practitioner. And I am very sorry. You can ask this of High Lamas. If you do any practice such as Vajrayogini or Hiruka, you will gain zero attainments and zero progress. In fact, you go backwards. You do it for years, nothing happens. You say, why am I still the same? If you don't serve your parents, I'll tell you why again. Let me reiterate. It's because the measuring stick of the selfishness of the mind has not lessened. And if selfishness has not lessened, how can you progress in sadhana? That's why we do the preliminary practices. Preliminary practices transform the mind to make it pliable and ready for tantric practice. Don't think you just do tantric practice and your life changes. No. We must serve our parents physically, mentally. And if they don't need that, we need to not be a burden for them in any way. Now or in the future, we cannot be a burden for them. If we're a burden for them in the past, the present, and the future, we are extremely selfish people and we will not get anywhere in Dharma practice. Never mind Dharma practice. In life, we will never get anywhere, because how we treat our parents reflects our attitude. Now, the message here tonight is, now it's time to bring Dharma home. I want everybody to make an effort. If you think of me as your guru, if you think of me as your spiritual mentor or teacher, that is my command. If you think of me as my friend, that is my request. If you think of me as a nice person that has lived life and I know a little bit more, That is me on my knees begging you and pleading you. However you wish to view me, it doesn't matter to me. But you need to do that. You need to lessen the mind that brings harm to yourself. So what happens is, if, what was that mudra? What do you want from Andy Warhol? Hey, just because you're white doesn't mean you can order us around, all right? Keep your fingers to yourself. You want to slap? Rude. He's used to it. These white people, they come here, they treat us like garbage. I won't take it. Another arrogant expat. That's why we stay in Singapore, you know, when we don't like certain people. Oh, sorry, Margaret. Margaret's the type that is, she works for the Ministry of Tourism. But it's not related to the government. I wouldn't laugh too loud, Jumba. Jumba's been trying to be the Minister of Tourism. But there was a few issues. One was they didn't know to call him Datin or Dato. So they said scrap that title for now. But now that it looks like it's a Datin inside the Dato, not the Dato inside Datin, or was it Datin in Dato? Or never mind. Anyway, it's something Da very tired, but never mind. The message here is to bring Dharma home. Is this working? Yes, huh? The message here is to bring Dharma home. You want to do Tantra? You need to take care of your parents and the people who've been kind to you and the people around you. To your wives, to your husbands. You need to be kind. Don't expect people to serve you. Serve and help. Don't wait for people to give you things. No, you do it. You know why? Every time people give you a cup of tea and you expect it, you collect the karma and you rehabituate the selfish mind. Don't. It harms yourself. You get the moment's thrill, but ultimately it's not good. Don't sit there and wait for money from someone. If you really need it, you get it. It's wonderful. Don't blackmail and manipulate for it. Take care of your wives. They are dakinis. They gave you your kids. They gave you a lot of pleasure. They gave you company. They stuck through you through thick and thin. And for some of us, our wives took very good care of us in many ways. Give back. Give back. Women are dakinis. They're miracle workers. Imagine you running around for 9 months with a huge belly. Oh, God, I wouldn't. You know, I don't want to be bitchy. I don't ever pray to be a woman because I can't take it. It's too much work. Number one, having a big, smelly, oily, ugly, hairy, disgusting ape man on top of me doing nasty things to me. I don't like. Thank you very much. Just visualize Jivan on top of you. Just visualize Edie or Andy on top of you. May I never be a woman. Never. All right? Just visualize Uncle Lai on top of you. Halfway through. Just visualize BB under you. I'm not trying to be bitchy. I can't be a woman because it's just too much. The amount of pain they have to withstand from society, men, and culture, I can't. That's why in Tibetan Buddhism, Buddha has recognized the value of the female energy and made Vajrayogini most supreme in the hierarchy of practices, and Tara most supreme. It's not because women are better than men. Even Mao Zedong recognized it. Women hold up half of the sky. So we need to stop sitting there looking for women to do things for us. We need to reward them. Tomorrow, the day after your meeting, go and get some little flowers. Yeah, it's a little embarrassing. You feel a little stupid. Never mind. The stupidity and embarrassment finishes real quick. And after 1-2 months, not 1-2 centuries, you get a little flower. I mean, it doesn't have to be $5,000. Jaya, just go. $5-$10. Just buy. Take the price tag off. They'll never know. I mean, you know how cheapskate ya. We have money for everything. Drinks and friends and everything. We don't have money from wives. Bad, bad, bad. Naughty, naughty. Yeah. She's getting her bag ready to take food home for her mother. And women, what can you do for men? You know what they want. You know what? Men only want one thing. Just one thing. You know how men are. They just want one thing. To stop being nagged. So just shut up. Don't nag them.
You know, men are not expressive. They're not. They don't like to talk about things. They don't want to tell you things except for Andy. I think he's a man through and through. There's no question about that. I've checked it out. I can't find any Mardi Gras energy in him at all. None. That's a man. I mean, that's it. It's a man. But somehow his voice box is a woman. And that's bad to put women and men like that. I mean, Andy never shuts up about his opinions. Andy is the most horrible, nagging housewife I've ever met. I wonder how Andy's husband takes it. And Smashy, she'll bug the shit out of you. She'll make you say yes. Do you want this? No. Why not? How about this? I'd be good for it. She's like an emanation of Irene. Oh. Irene never takes a no. Well, that's what makes Irene adventurous and sit backwards on a donkey to Yara. That determination. Yes, that determination. There's good and bad in everything. So we don't look at Andy with his expressive mouth and go, oh God, he's nagging. No, but when Andy puts that energy to writing, you know how many people it's going to move? Wow. I'm amazed by Andy and Crystal's writing. Amazed. I'm amazed at David's writing when he writes. We'll work on that one. Amazing. So Andy, yes, never stops nagging. Never. But when he puts it on paper, wow. Because if he doesn't have that verbally, he won't have it on paper. So we don't look at it good or bad. It's just a gift. So women and Andy, stop nagging your husbands. Stop bitching. Stop complaining. Stop making noise. And I'm not just talking about husbands. I'm talking about your friends, your mother, your auntie, your whoever that you nag the crap out of. Stop. Do you know why? It's a very small gift to give back. You get flowers, they don't get nagging. A little bit closer. You get chocolates, they compliment you. You go for din-din. Just think of how you... Okay, I want you to have another perspective. Right now, tonight, you find out your husband or your wife died. Right now, tonight, you find out they died. No more. Oh, and you don't get the inheritance because they had a clause on their will. They died. No more. You go home, your partner, your friend, your mother, your daughter, your sister, your wife, your husband is dead. No more. You go home alone. 49 days of funerals. I don't know about Indian tradition. I don't know about white tradition. I don't know about anything else. They're dead. Peacefully. How? Think about all that. Because you know what? I'm so sorry with respect to older people. It's going to happen one day. When I say respect to older people, I don't mean it'll happen to older people fast. I mean, I'm younger, I'm talking to older people. That's what I mean. It's going to happen one day. You're going to go home or you're going to get news that your partner has died. Now how do you feel? Now who wins? What about the latest argument, the latest nagging session, the latest fight, the latest they did this, they did this, they did this to me, they did that to me, they're dead. Your mother's dead, you hear. Your auntie's dead. Your father's dead. Your wife's dead. Your husband is dead. Your mother will never breathe again. You will never see her again. You think about that. And that, you know what? You know what's the fear behind all that? It will happen. None of us in this room can escape that. It will happen. And you faith, I'm not talking about Buddha and heaven and hell and all that. I'm not trying to scare you with a lot of theology here. I'm telling you the basic human fact. You will hear that. Someone has died. And all of you, you don't need psychic powers here. Then how? Work on yourselves now, tonight, immediately. What is of value, after all, to you? For some of us, it's our Dharma practice and our future lives. For some of us, it's happiness. For some of us, it's money. It's for some of us, it's company. We have different value systems, we all do. But we do value something. And I'm sure all of us value the people we are with. Bottom line. Imagine you get the news one day. I know some of you will be throwing a potty. Oh, Rinpoche died peacefully. Rinpoche's in clear light now. He's dead. How? Your husband's dead. He's dead. We didn't say lose a car. We didn't say, you know, you lost a diamond ring. We're not talking about you lost some share. They're dead. It's very final. How will you act? Listen to what your partners and friends and parents are saying and give them what they want. Listen to what they nag about and give them. Irregardless of the nagging, give them. In giving to them, you give to yourselves. In giving to yourselves, you give to others. Because the more happy you become, the more you can do for others. And the only way to make happiness for yourselves is by making other people happy. And we're in Dharma now. There's nothing left but to commit ourselves to ourselves. We are here to commit ourselves to ourselves. You know how? By bringing love, harmony, and Dharma into our lives. And that's why I want you all to make a commitment to KH. Because KH is you. Is you inside. It's not a building. It's you. And I'm giving you stark reality. So some of us say, oh, you know, we got a nice husband. They support us. They take care of financially. That's beautiful. Nothing wrong with that. What happens if we find out they're dead? No more financial support. How about all the crap that we gave that person while they were alive? And you know what's the horrible part? Is that we live on and we can find a new one, yeah. But the crap we gave them, it's very strong in us, and we'll continue to give that crap to the next person, and will they take it? Stop looking for money. Stop looking for the windfall. Stop looking for the other person to change. Stop looking for outer transformation. Look inside and do it immediately. You know what you are inside. You know your good points, which are many, and you know your few flaws. What's wrong? And serving your parents, who are the most kind to us directly and indirectly, and stop looking at your parents' few flaws that your expectations were not fulfilled. It's your own karma, you know? And holding on to that. And actually saying that my parents didn't do this and this and this for me, that's why I'm not nice to them, is actually a cover-up for our very selfish mind. Actually, it's a very big cover-up. Serve our parents, drive them around, feed them, call them, take care of them, listen to them. Listen to them tell the same story 5,000 times, smiling and happily, and ask them what happened again and again and again. Do you know why? That's all that's left. Massage them. Make time for them. And when I say parents, I mean anyone who's been kind to you. That's how we start Dharma practice today. Now, you want Dharma? That's what we get. And there's a very select few being able to listen to this. You have the karma, you have the merit to hear this. You don't have the karma and merit to be with me. I'm nobody. I'm just a somebody that is able to convey the message to you. You have the karma to listen to this message. Make other people happy. Bring harmony to your husband, wives, children, brothers and sisters, parents, lovers, friends, business partners. Bring harmony. Bring harmony. Change yourself, not them. By accepting how they are is transformation. And sometimes we get a nice surprise. When we change without expecting it, they change. You know, we may know how to talk very well to the other person, but if we don't practice what we talk, it doesn't affect the other person. Even a dumb animal can feel love and obey your commands if you give them a lot of love. Even a dumb animal. What more, a human being? Love, care, harmony, now. That's what KH is about. And all this that we're doing, we're going to do the beautiful tantric ceremony now. It's beautiful, you know why? We will send the energies out to ourselves and everybody who will see us, and to our families, and to the people who have been kind to us, to love them. And that's what I want all of us to do. I want our sadhanas not to be another mantra, another initiation, running after another law. Oh, His Eminence, His Holiness, His Fabulous, His Greatness, His Majesty is coming to town and giving blah, blah, blah initiation. Should I go? Should I not go? Should I get this? Oh, give it up. How many living Buddhas have you been sitting in front of and getting initiations, and look at you? You're even worse. You're not a living Buddha. You're a living nightmare. You don't need any more initiations and practices, all that. What you need is to take your mother and father out for din-din once a week. To take your wife out for din-din once a week. To take your husband out for din-din. To not nag your husband. That's what we need to do. That's our sadhana, you know? You want to do a sadhana every week? That's it. And listen to what people tell us is wrong with us. To stop that. You don't need any more initiations and practices. You really don't. You know, when I hear another High Lama comes down, I rejoice. And when I see a lot of people who have been in Dharma for a long time running there and getting more initiations and only focusing on that, I get disappointed. Because what I realize is they don't know the Dharma. Don't get me wrong. I'm happy they go. But to focus only on getting the initiation, how great it is, and then you look at their behavior, it disappoints me. Why? They haven't learned the Dharma. Control our minds, calm down, relax, accept other people. Accept. Commit yourselves to KH. Commit. Because why? You're committing to yourself. This is our self-help group. And we can self-help a lot of people. Listen to what we talk about here. We're not sitting here holding the lamrim and singing gospels to Buddha, you know. You saved my life. You know, we're not sitting here holding a lamrim singing a gospel to Buddha and dancing up and down with tambourines. We're not sitting here threatening you that everybody out there are heretics and heathens and we're the holy group. We're not on Pulau Penang here, you know, surrounded by armed guards that, you know, we're a cult. What are we talking about? Us. Me. Us. Our family. If I've ever had the honor to meet Dr. Mahathir or any of the great leaders of this country, I will tell them that's what I'm doing here. I'm talking about family values and melding families and people together. Because peace and love comes from that. And even when we do monk ceremonies and nun ceremonies here in the future, it's not about taking them away from the family. It's about letting them live in austerity for a while to realize how much they have. And in Malaysia, we have a lot. And in Malaysia, I was telling a friend the other day, I forgot who, I think it was David, that there's not a lot of people who run out there and help, you know, giving food. Materially, there's not a lot of poverty here because this is a first world country. It's one of the best in the world. Everybody in here is trying to lose weight, except Margaret. Everybody. Okay, Margaret and Paul. I hate those people. On the way to the parking lot, you guys know what to do. Beat them up. And yes, Malaysia is a first world country, and there's not a lot of physical poverty here, but there's a lot of spiritual poverty, mental loneliness, unhappiness. And that's what KH is going to do. We're a self-help group. Where are you going? Oh, you're going to AA. I'm going to KH. Alcoholics Anonymous, KH is not. KH, Kichara House. A house for what? A house for love. Kichara is Vajuginee's love. It's her heaven. Her heaven emanates from her heart, from love and compassion and skillful means. That's what Kichara Paradise is. An emanation of Vajugini's love and caring. That's what it really is. And Kichara House is a house to find love, compassion, forgiveness, growth. And we will help each other towards that. That's why it's house, not center. That's why I didn't want a Tibetan name, you know. Blah, 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 ling. Lulu, li, li, ling. Nyao, 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 chu, chi, chao, chao. And some weird sect, you know, I hate these centers that's got their lineage on it. Gelupa Tashi Darling Bogi Lao Ku Kiki Ling. You know, I hate. Or Gama Kachu Ra Ra Ru Ru Ri Ru Rao. I hate all that. That's why I wanted something just for about us. You know, it's not about lineage and all that, it's about us. It's about us. So now, I want you guys to do that immediately. Immediately. To do something for the very people that you live with immediately, because that's Dharma. I didn't tell you to go home and chant mantras. And not to do it, and to do it again and again. That's your sadhana. You want to be spiritual? Buy flowers for your wife. You want to be spiritual? Stop nagging your husband. You want to be spiritual? Take your wives out to eat. You want to be spiritual? Don't cheat on your husbands and wives in any way. You want to be spiritual? You want to do a sadhana? You want the greatest yidam? The greatest yidam is getting behind a steering wheel and taking your mother, father out to eat. That is your greatest yidam. You want the greatest mantra? The greatest mantra is, how are you, mommy? How are you, daddy? What can I do for you? That is the greatest mantra. That is more powerful than Vajugini's secret mantra at this moment for us. You know what's the greatest mind? The greatest mind is not wanting other people to change, but you yourself change in accepting other people. That's the greatest mind. To stop looking, when will they change? No. When will you change? When will I change? Not they. I. That's the greatest mantra, greatest practice. So you believe in God, fabulous. You believe in Buddha, fabulous. You don't believe in anything, fabulous. But please believe in yourself, and please believe in the happiness you can bring to people around you. Believe in that. Wouldn't that be lovely? All right, now that I had my little pep talk, let's ring our bells, do our little chantings, and pretend we're a secret Vajrayana practitioner, and we're inviting secret yidams and all that, and we're a secret, wow, we're great practitioners, and wow. All that pep talk that I had is just crap. Now let's do the real practice. Let's ring the bells. The doors are locked. It's Tantra night. And we're going to invite our secret yidam. Wow. And remember, we received this initiation to be allowed to be here from His Holiness, His Eminence, His Majesty, His Greatness, His Majestics, His Beautiful, His Fabulous. You know, we all had all these titles they put on Rimajis. They're getting a little too much. I have to think a new title for me. I don't know. What am I thinking about? His Trashiness. I don't know. Something. The Slut Temerimji. Oh, I love it. I want something trashy. I don't want his something, you know, something new. Let me see. He and me. That what? More fun. Anybody calls me His Holiness, they're going to be excommunicated. I hate things like that. Ooh. You know why I hate it? There's nothing farther than holy than me. And you don't want to send the wrong message out. People take one look and say, see you later. I'm going back to the pub and have a drink and play another game of golf. Ooh, rude. No, I don't like all those fancy titles. What I want is fancy mind work inside.